Hello there, faithful listener. You've tuned in to Season 7 of the Bible Explained podcast. So make sure to grab your cup of coffee, because today we are going to be discussing the book of 1 Samuel. Happy Monday, faithful listeners, and thanks for being here to share a nice hot beverage with me as we read the Bible today. And I typically don't ask you guys to pray for me, but I am going to ask you guys all to pray for me because I'm really going through some serious stomach issues. I've kind of alluded to this in the past. And so it's getting to the point where I can't really eat anything without getting very sick. And so it's really causing me a lot of distress and also irritation, mainly at myself, because I love eating. I love eating and drinking coffee and making good food. And it just feels like I can't do that right now. And so I'm really just irritated at my body right now, but also in pain as well. So if you guys could pray for me that I get this figured out and resolved so I can get back to drinking delicious cups of coffee and eating delicious donuts and just having a good time eating. That would be fantastic if you guys could pray for me, because hey, God helped people invent those delicious foods for us to enjoy. And so I want to enjoy them. And right now I'm pretty much on a soup diet until I get all of this figured out. And I can't drink coffee for a while either. So I'm kind of sad about all of that. But faithful listeners, let's go ahead and read 1 Samuel 27. And we're going to see how David compromises. He compromises actually quite a lot. And David, unfortunately, during this chapter, just goes through a very, very dark time. So we're going to see, how does a man after God's own heart go through something like this? So let's go ahead and read the entire chapter of 1 Samuel 27. It's only 12 verses, and I'll be reading as usual out of the WEB. Make sure to grab your cup of coffee so I can enjoy it vicariously through you. David said in his heart, "I will now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul will despair of me to seek me any more in the borders of Israel. So I will escape out of his hand." David arose and passed over, he and the 600 men who were with him, to Achish the son of Maach, king of Gath. David lived with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. Saul was told that David had fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. David said to Achish, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, let them give me a place in one of the cities in the country, that I may dwell there. For why should your servant dwell in the royal city with you?" Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Therefore, Ziklag belongs to the kings of Judah to this day. The number of the days that David lived in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. David and his men went up and raided the Geshurites, the Girzites, and the Amalekites, for those were the inhabitants of the land, who were of old, on the way to Shur, even to the land of Egypt. David struck the land, and saved no man or woman alive, and took away the sheep, the cattle, the donkeys, the camels, and the clothing. Then he returned and came to Achish. Achish said, "Against whom have you made a raid today?" David said, "Against the south of Judah, against the south of the Jerahmeelites, and against the south of the Kenites." David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring them to Gath, saying, "Lest they should tell about us, saying, David did this, and this has been his way all the time that he has lived in the country of the Philistines." Achish believed David, saying, "He has made his people Israel utterly to abhor him. Therefore, he will be my servant forever." So we know that David was on the run from Saul for many years. A lot of people like to say that it was about 15 years. It could have been a little bit shorter than that. But the overall consensus is that David was a fugitive for many years. And now what we read in 1 Samuel 27, it's getting to be the end, towards the end of David's fugitive years. But yet, you can see from this chapter that David has lost all hope. He has lost all hope. And actually, there is no known psalm that David wrote during this time period either. So he was in a very, very hopeless place. And he's allowing that hopelessness that he's feeling to guide his emotions. And typically, David doesn't really do this. Typically, we see Saul do this. And now David is acting a little bit like Saul, because Saul was very emotional. He was a very angry man. And we often see Saul just doing whatever his emotions told him to do. He'd go on the hunt for David and try to kill him, but then he'd feel convicted and decide to go home. And then the cycle would just repeat over and over and over again. So Saul, we know, really enjoyed allowing his emotions to guide him. David typically didn't do that, though. Even though he was a very emotional guy, he typically did not allow his emotions to define what he was going to do in the future. Because the times that we've seen David before get angry or get very sad or discouraged or hopeless or fearful, a lot of times he repents from those sins and writes a psalm about it and gives thanks to God. That's typically what we see David do. But now in verse 1 of 1 Samuel 27, David is saying in his heart, "I will now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should escape into the land of the Philistines." Here's what's super interesting about that. If you go back one chapter to 1 Samuel 26 and read verses 19 through 20, we see that David has an encounter with Saul, where Saul was once again trying to find and kill David, of course, and David confronted Saul. And David had an opportunity even to kill Saul, and David did not take that opportunity. Instead, he said, "No, that will be a sin. I'm not going to do that." And that was typically how we see David respond to his emotions. He says, "No, those are sins. Not going to do that." But anyway, during this encounter that he has with Saul, it says in verse 19 that David is begging Saul to allow him to come back home so that he doesn't have to go into the land of the Philistines, basically. Here's what it says. "Therefore, please let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If it is so that Yahweh has stirred you up against me, let him accept an offering. But if it is the children of men, they are cursed before Yahweh, for they have driven me out today, that I shouldn't cling to Yahweh's inheritance, saying, 'Go, serve other gods.' Now therefore, don't let my blood fall to the earth away from the presence of Yahweh, for the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea, as when one hunts a partridge in the mountains." So David is kind of begging Saul for his life, but he's also begging Saul to not make him go into territory that does not belong to Israel. Apparently, David was feeling very pushed out of his own home. And I mean, obviously he would be feeling that way because it's been years since David has been on the run in his own country. He can't even feel safe in his own country. On top of that, he can't do any of the typical things that he wanted to do in his country, like go to the temple, enjoy all of the Hebrew feasts and holidays. He wasn't able to do any of those things. So he begs Saul, "Please don't make me go into another country and die there." And it was a very genuine plea for help. But even though God had protected David multiple times up until this point, we see David just disparaging in 1 Samuel 27. First and foremost, he is saying in his heart, "I will now perish one day by the hand of Saul." So he's listening to his emotions and all the things that he is thinking and believing that one day Saul is finally going to catch up with him and kill him, even though it never happened before. And that is something that we humans do all the time. We forget about how God has protected us in the past, how God saved us, how God, you know, provided in this way. We forget about that when a new problem arises. And so David is feeling discouraged. You know, he's been on the run from Saul for years. And so he's forgetting all these wonderful things that God did for him. So now he goes into Philistine territory because he believes that that's the only place that he can go to get away from Saul. And what's really unfortunate about this is that David takes all of his men with him, the 600 men, as well as his wives and all of the wives of the men that were with David. The reason that this is very upsetting is because the Philistines believed in other gods. And we know time and time again that the Israelites really had a habit of worshiping the gods of the countries that surrounded them. And David, being the leader of these men and of his own family, he shouldn't have gone into Philistine territory, because now he's putting this, I guess, stumbling block, right, in front of all of his men and his men's wives. Because now that they're starting to live in the Philistine region, they might start to worship the Philistine gods. It says that David and the men lived in that region for, let's see, it says that it was a full year and 4 months. That is plenty of time for people to start forgetting about Yahweh, forgetting about the Jewish laws and regulations, forgetting about all of the requirements that they were supposed to do under the Old Testament law, because the Philistines didn't do any of those requirements. And unfortunately, David led all of his men into this region. And we don't know what kind of ramifications that caused with these 600 men and their wives, and even David's own wives also. Now, it turns out that Achish, who was the king of the Philistines, the king of Gath is what it says, accepted David this time. Now, we saw Achish one other time back in 1 Samuel 21, where Achish does not accept David, mainly because in 1 Samuel 21, that was when David was first fleeing from Saul. And so Achish believed that David was an Israelite warrior. So when Achish's men find David in the city, they take David to the king, because David would have been a criminal to them, since David had killed tons of Philistines up until that point. So Achish actually imprisoned David. And so David pretended not to be himself. He pretended to be a madman in order to get out of prison. And so Achish was like, you know what? Get rid of him. I don't want him in my prisons. Get him out. And so David was able to flee in that way. But now in 1 Samuel 27, years later, David goes back to Achish. And this time, Achish completely accepts David with open arms, because he believes that David is a traitor of Israel. Not to mention, I'm sure that news has probably traveled to Achish that David was on the run from Saul. And since Achish also hated Saul, the king of Israel, obviously he was very excited to have David joining his ranks. So here's what happens. It says that Achish gave David a city to live in for him and his 600 men. It says that he gave him the city of Ziklag. And Ziklag apparently belongs to the kings of Judah to this day, which means to the day that 1 Samuel 27 was written. And so David and his men stayed in that city in the Philistine region for over a year, almost a year and a half. Now, meanwhile, Saul learned that David was now in Philistine territory, and he decides to stop trying to capture David. That is what it says in verse 4. Saul was told that David had fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. So this means that absolutely Saul was once again trying to find David. He never kept his promise at any point in time to David. And I'm sure that that's one of the reasons why David left the Israelite region, was because he knew that Saul was constantly pursuing him and was never going to change his mind. And that's very clear based upon verse 4, that Saul still was pursuing David, even though in the last chapter, once again, for the third time, Saul actually apologized to David for trying to kill him. So while David is living in Ziklag with his 600 men, the Philistine king Achish is using David. And so here's what David is doing. David and his men went up and raided the Geshurites, the Gerzites, and the Amalekites, for those were the inhabitants of the land who were of old on the way to Shur, even to the land of Egypt. David struck the land and saved no man or woman alive, and took away the sheep, cattle, donkeys, camels, and the clothing. Then he returned and came to Achish. And so David decided to start doing these raids against all of these people who were enemies of Israel. The Geshurites, the Gerzites, and the Amalekites. And David was going into these towns and completely slaughtering everybody. And absolutely, this was a sin. David should not have been going into these towns and slaughtering everybody, not even the Amalekites. Because even though Saul was supposed to wipe out the Amalekites, God had not given David the command to do that. He might have in the future, but for now, David was acting on his own. He was deciding to go and kill all of these people, specifically so that they say nothing. Here's what David says in verse 11. David saved neither a man nor a woman alive to bring them to Gath, saying, lest they should tell about us, saying, David did this, and this has been his way all the time he has lived in the country of the Philistines. So David was scared that these people were going to narc on him, and so David decided to just kill all of them. Every single person. For fear that they would tell King Achish what David was really doing. And all the while, Achish thinks that David is attacking the Israelites. And so Achish is super happy. He's like, yay, David, go attack the Israelites. And Achish is super happy. Here's Achish. Every single time David came home with new sheep and cattle, Achish would say, who have you made a raid against today? And David would say, against the south of Judah and against the south of the Jeremelites and against the south of the Kenites. And Achish would be super happy. And the reason Achish was happy about this was because, first and foremost, he had David, this warrior, who he thought the Israelite people absolutely hated, because according to David's story, David was going and slaughtering all of these people. So Achish was super happy about that. And also he was happy because he just didn't like the Israelites. They were in the middle of a war against each other. Verse 12, Achish believed David, saying, he has made his people utterly abhor him. Therefore, he will be my servant forever. So Achish was like rubbing his hands together, so excited that he gets David as his servant. Because David really was a good servant. But David never should have been in Philistine territory. He never should have gone down there. He never should have brought his men and their wives down there. He never should have been living there for as long as he was. He never should have been serving another king. And he never should have been going to all of these different tribes and just slaughtering them completely. But David was making it out to be as if it was okay to do these things. Well, the only reason I'm killing all the people is so that they don't tell on me. Well, the only reason I'm going to all of these different tribes is because they're enemies of Israel, so I can do this. Well, the only reason that I'm doing this or that is to protect my men and to protect my own life. There's nothing wrong with this. But there was something wrong with it. It was a sin against God. And I think even David realized this. Because once again, David did not write any psalms that we know of during this portion of his life. He was really in a dark place during this time. But it's really good to read these stories, mainly because scripture calls David a man after God's heart. And you might be like, well, how can he be a man after God's heart when he does crazy stuff like this? I think a lot of times people read scriptural passages and read stories about David, and they think that David was a special person because he had a heart after God. And people think, oh, I could never be like David. I could never have a heart after God the way David had. But I don't believe that's true, because look at how many times David failed. And yet the reason he was considered a man after God's heart was because David almost always repented. He always tried to search God, even though he had dark times in his life where he was going down a completely wrong path where he shouldn't have been going down. He still repented from that and tried to get back onto the right path. And that was how he was a man after God's own heart, even though he had so many failures. Faithful listener, I believe that all of us can be people after God's heart, meaning we are searching for God's heart, trying to live the way God wants us to live. Because if David could do it with all of his failures, then we also can take a shot at it and try to live in a way that glorifies God all the time. So faithful listeners, if you liked today's episode and you thought it was encouraging, then share it. Tell people that the Bible Explained podcast exists, because word of mouth is the most excellent way for the podcast to grow. And also check out all the links listed in the description of this episode, especially if you want more content, because I have the YouTube channel listed, as well as the blog listed, and Facebook and Ko-fi as well. All of them are different, with different things that I post on occasion. So check out all of those links. And faithful listeners, I hope you have a fantastic rest of your day. I'll see you tomorrow for an episode from the book of Romans. Happy listening, and God bless.